used to drink away my paycheck. Celebrate the mistakes I hadn't made yet. Our generation isn't the best on safe sex. We forget the latex, becoming Planned Parenthood patients.
Hello and welcome to Penguin Radio. This is Ball is Life and I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse. Along with me, I have DJ Smoove and as always our ESPN and NBA, I guess NBA analyst, DJ DV. And so we're going to jump right into it by talking about the Eastern-Western finals for the NBA, and then we're going to jump into some NBA drama at the end. So starting off, we're going to jump into some NBA Eastern Conference series. And DJ Smoove, which one really sticks out to you?
The one that sticks out to me has to be the 4-5 matchup, Toronto-Washington, and how Washington swept Toronto in Toronto, and they were up 2-0 right now. I knew Washington was the better team, and they were going to probably win the series, but I didn't expect them to win both the first two games, both of them. So I am really kind of surprised about that. And Paul Pierce has been going off. He had a great first game. He had like 20 points and carried the Wizards in game one. And then game two, they just came out full team effort and just dominated the Toronto Raptors. And Toronto, honestly, they look overmatched and just they don't belong to be a 4 seed in the East.
Ooh, that's some bold things you got.
No, I'm just saying that's what it looks like over there.
DV, what you got?
I'm really liking this Cavs-Celtics series because the Celtics are playing really well. But, I mean, it wasn't enough in Cleveland, obviously, but they're playing really well. You know, they're playing really physical. And, you know, the Cavs, they made mistakes that they can't make on the road. Even LeBron said last night, you know, they made turnovers that they can't make on the road or else they'll lose. And so they got to make some adjustments. But they're playing really physical. It's been really close games. You know, but you know, I guess LeBron's too much. LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love are too much for the Celtics. But we'll see what happens when they go to Boston.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting to see how this very young, like, inexperienced Cavaliers team can play at an away game. Because, I mean, this is Kyrie, Kevin Love, their first time.
That was their second playoff game yesterday.
So they don't have the away experience. So that will actually be pretty cool to see. For me, I want to say it's the Bulls and Bucks series is the biggest one for me. Because I don't think anybody really anticipated Derrick Rose playing at the level that he is.
Yeah.
And then he has Jimmy Butler as his backup. And
Jimmy Butler was going
Jimmy
off
Butler
in game
just
two.
Took off game two, scoring like 30 points.
Yeah.
And he joined some great company with MJ
and
like some of the great Bulls.
If Jimmy Butler doesn't go off at the end of that game, I feel like Milwaukee, you know, steals
Evens
that game away. Because they were up 74-73 with like 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden the Bucks missed 8 straight shots, and Jimmy Butler started just going off. He was hitting 3 after 3 after 3, and then what kind of funny was me, like what I heard, they had like, you know how they had the players like mic'd up during the like game. He went over to the sideline and told his coach, like, oh, the guy that was guarding him, he's like, this guy can't guard me, he's too small for me, just give me the ball. And he proved that the guy couldn't guard him.
Yeah, I mean, that's bold. Have you ever done that in a game?
Yeah, I've done that in a game.
I mean, that's,
yeah, I've done
that. That is confidence.
I've actually done that to bigger people. He can't guard me. Like, I remember there's the 6'9" guy in AAU, and I had like 15 rebounds over him.
Jesus.
Could he just not jump?
No, he could jump.
You were just more athletic.
I was too much.
I heard that.
But the Bulls and Bucks series, I feel like it's going to tell a lot for the next round of the playoffs for the Bulls, because I don't think the Bucks are going to win. But I see you shaking your head over there.
I feel like
this is really going to tell a lot for the Bulls and what kind of tone they're going to have in the playoffs. And so far, they're doing really well with Derrick Rose coming back.
Yeah, I mean, that really caught me off guard. Smoove, you were shaking up your head over there. You wanna pitch in?
I know before the playoffs started, I said the Bucks are going to make some noise. I feel like they are. I think they're going to take one game at least in Milwaukee, maybe take game five in Chicago. I'm just saying, they're a good team. They're a really good team, and they're on the rise. They have a good young core. I like what Jason Kidd's doing over there.
It's a very young team.
Yeah, and also, you know, they're missing one of their stars in Jabari Brown.
Jabari Parker.
Oh, Jabari Parker.
Jabari Brown's in the Lakers, sir.
Yes. I got the Lakers mixed up. I was just reading
Lakers.
A Lakers article right now.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry. But, yes, Jabari Parker. And again, just I feel like Milwaukee in the next couple of years will be a top four seed in the East. So, but I think they can pull out a game and just make this series more competitive.
I feel like if Larry Sanders, you know, he applies himself more, because you know there was some talk about him like stop playing basketball for, it was like for a good month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I feel like if he applies himself and really wants to play again, you know, they could be really good, because yeah. that's their core defensive player right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and that's what they're lacking, because they're lacking a guy that can be a rim protector, and they don't have that. Zaza Pachulia is not that.
No.
Miles Plumlee is not that. John Henson's the closest thing they have to a rim protector, and he's not even known around the league as a rim protector.
He's also very young, too.
So what about the Greek Freak?
Freak, he's a small forward. But
yeah, he's a 6'9 small forward. And they were actually running him at point guard a little bit, too, mm-hmm. as well.
I like that. I actually like that.
I do like that, because it creates a change of pace for the game, so it throws the other team off.
Yeah.
But they have a really young team. They got Michael Carter Williams, who's mm-hmm. also a 6'6 point guard. Yes. So they have a big,
they have some height.
They have big backcourt. So they have a lot of room to grow.
Yeah, and I think they're gonna work on their front court and just add, you know, more pieces. Add a center maybe through the draft or through free agency. You know, they're not that team that's gonna sign a player to a big deal, because that's not the Milwaukee Bucks. They're not a big market team, but I feel like they're gonna sign some valuable guys in the offseason, draft some guys in the draft, and become one of those top four teams in the East, because I actually like what they're doing over there.
Yeah, I got one more question. What is the one series in the East that has shocked you, that it's that
shocked
record
me
right now?
Mm.
That you didn't think, like you didn't think that the Wizards are going to be up 2-0?
Yeah.
Or what is the series for you that shocked you at this? DV, you got one in mind?
I thought the Cavs and Celtics series was going to go 1-1.
Ooh. Against LeBron?
Yeah, I thought it was going 1-1 in Cleveland. I thought yesterday the Celtics were gonna do it. I said to myself, if they win, I'm gonna be so mad. But I guess Cleveland pulled it off. You know, we'll see what happens game three. But also the Toronto Washington series, I felt like that would have went 1-1 as well, because of how close the seeding was, and what Toronto was doing early in the season, because they were. I expected that level of play from them, but we're not getting it. I feel like DeMar DeRozan being out in the beginning made it different. It made them play better, I guess. So yeah. He's kind of like he's not helping the team. I don't know.
They seem so non-existent in the playoffs. It seems like they're really overmatched. Honestly, I've watched the two games in the series, and it honestly looks like a 1-8 matchup. To be honest, that's how it looks. It's just Toronto's like no fight. They have and it's sad because they have a great fan base over there. It's like college fan base type crowd. It's sold out in the arena, and there's a huge crowd on the outside of the arena, and they just did not show up. It seems like they didn't show up. Kyle Lowry in the first game fouled out and didn't show up. I think he only had like 10 points or something like that.
See, you need that. You need that from your starting point guard. All-star starting point guard. You need more you need him for him to contribute more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they're falling off. And then I also, with Paul Pierce being on the Wizards with plenty of playoff experience, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, he sets that tone. Because has John Wall played
last year?
Yeah, last year.
Last couple of years.
You know,
yeah, he won his first round series too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
So yeah. He already knows what it's like to get to that second round and play at an even higher level of basketball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's only gotten better since he's been in the league.
And I feel like the Wizards are going to give probably the Atlanta Hawks in the second round a huge matchup. Just they're going to match up even like well against each other. And I feel they're going to give some Atlanta some struggles in the second round. And also talk back to your question, Roughhouse, about what am I most surprised at. I'm kind of most surprised of how close Brooklyn is keeping
with Atlanta,
because they only lost by 6 in game 1, and game 2 they're actually playing right now. And I just like how Atlanta's, you know, I mean, Brooklyn's not backing down from Atlanta. So that's kind of the one that surprised me, because I thought Atlanta would be blowing them out by like 20.
The one that stuck out to me was for sure the Raptors-Wizards one, because, I mean, Raptors at home, like how I really thought that they were going to win that first game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the Wizards were up by like 25 at one point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, the Wizards are looking really nice. And then somehow I check my phone like 10 minutes later and it's like Raptors erase a 25 point deficit and send it to overtime.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, like there they are. But yeah, I mean, I think Drake just needs to show up to the games more. Yeah.
Running through the six with his woes. There's a lot of woes in Toronto right now.
All right, who's the MVP player right now
in the East?
In the East,
LeBron.
No.
I think Kyrie.
No. LeBron or Kyrie?
I could see Jimmy Butler as well.
Oh, yeah, he's in the talk, but...
But I want to say Kyrie.
You got to take into account... Like all they're doing, like LeBron's playing offense, defense. He's doing it all. He's telling his team where to be, where to go. Like he has to coach Kyrie and Kevin Love on how to handle the situations in the playoff games. I remember LeBron was mic'd up in game one, and he was telling Kevin Love, just let it go, just let it go, just play basketball. Like he told him that because Kevin Love was getting frustrated, and you know you can't do that in a playoff game because there's no time to think about the last play. You got to keep moving and going forward. You're gonna make mistakes, but when you make mistakes, it's all about resilience in the playoffs. It's how you can come back from, you know, the last play or the last game. That tells a lot. So him coaching everybody through that, not just, you know, scoring and, you know, doing what quote-unquote an MVP does, he's coaching, he's teaching people how to do that. Now, you know, Kyrie, he came off game one with 30 points. You know, that says a lot for his first playoff game. And,
yeah,
you know,
big.
He's taking LeBron's advice very well. And, you know, that's what I think. LeBron's the MVP.
Right now, I think the most valuable player to his team right now, I'm going to go with Paul Pierce to the Wizards.
Yeah, he's actually doing the same thing.
Yeah,
but you know,
I feel like yeah.
Yeah,
he,
both
I feel like
these
he has a
teams
more experienced team though. But it's just they're just not as, you know, good. But I mean, Paul Pierce, he is doing a lot for his team. He's scoring when they need him, and he's doing everything that he's asked and then more.
Yeah, he's averaging 15 points in these two games against Toronto, and
that's huge.
Yeah,
and that's what the Wizards need, honestly, to keep on moving to the next round and going as far as they want to. Paul Pierce needs to be that third option behind John Wall, Bradley Beal, and, you know, also getting some production from Marcin Gortat and Nene.
All right, who's the least or the worst player right now in the playoffs?
Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, Kyle, he is.
Wait, hold on. I didn't get to say my MVP. I'm going to say Isaiah Thomas if it's not Kyrie.
For
the Celtics, because he is playing. He averaged 17
offense.
Off the bench, and he had 20 something in the second game too.
He did.
I mean, he's just been holding his own.
He's doing.
And I commend him for it. I mean, I think he's doing great.
Yeah, he's doing great.
I commend
him. He's doing his job, so to speak. He's coming off the bench and providing that second source of scoring.
Yeah,
he's outside the starters. You know, he comes in and he's that extra boost, you can say, for the Celtics. You know,
yeah.
I was actually thinking about it after watching like a couple playoff games. The Toronto and Washington series is not as physical as all the other series.
No, it's not.
I was watching the Evan Turner guard LeBron. They were literally grabbing each other, trying to get open, and that's a foul.
Yeah.
They're not calling it.
And I mean, then we're
watching
talk about this
watching,
later.
Watching Toronto and Washington play, it's like watching like kids.
Yeah, honestly.
We're gonna get into this a little bit later, but I mean, did you guys see James Harden and Rondo getting into it when he was trying to get open? And like they were literally doing the same exact thing and Rondo got a technical for it.
You know, that's
like they were.
I don't wanna get too much in that series. Let's just say the game opened up with a bloody nose.
Yeah, okay.
Yesterday.
Yeah. All right, so What else is sticking out to you in your mind about the East?
East, it's just probably the biggest thing to me that I'm really surprised about is the disappearance of the Toronto Raptors. Like, where are they? Like, it looks like Washington's just playing 5-on-0 out there, playing a bunch of ghosts.
I feel like they're going to wait till it's 3-0 to start playing.
Yeah, but it's going to be too late. But yeah, other than
it
the
already,
Toronto.
It already is too late.
other than the disappearance of Toronto, is probably how well the Celtics are, you know, playing toe-to-toe with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
That's really surprised me also.
It surprised me because I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Celtics were all in the ninth spot the whole season till the last 2 weeks.
I feel like without Isaiah Thomas, the Celtics don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
True.
So, guaranteed. Basically, the key to their success is the success of Isaiah Thomas coming off the bench.
Yeah. And they've kept it close.
They've kept it close. I mean, I think they won by double digits one of the games. Mm-hmm. But that was because, you know, the end of the game, fouling and free throws. But essentially, the key to Boston's success is through Isaiah Thomas. Now, that has to change because you can't just rely on one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that
in a playoffs.
I think the other person that needs to step up is Bradley.
Avery Bradley.
Bradley on the offensive side, but the defensive side, he was all up in Kyrie.
And Bass, because he's already been there.
True.
And he was with the 08 Lakers.
Oh, he was
back
in,
with is the... It, he's been there for a while.
Which brother is on the Celtics? I can never remember. Is it Tyler or Cody?
I think it's Cody Zeller.
Yeah.
I feel like he needs to step up as well.
No. And this is going to, I know this is going to be a lot to ask. Marcus Smart. He was their first round draft pick this year.
Oh, yeah.
He was
right.
Supposed to be the guy to take over for Rondo. And he is actually not.
He's disappearing.
Yeah. I haven't heard his name once in the series or when
starting.
People talk about the series.
Yeah. He starts.
Yeah. So but he starts in place for Isaiah Thomas, where I think Isaiah Thomas should start.
But see, that's where it kind of gets tricky, because you put Isaiah Thomas in, now you don't have a second source of scoring.
True.
Because you put in Marcus Smart, and
you're not going to get any scoring. Bench, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you got to keep Marcus Smart in there. So, you know, the starters are playing toe-to-toe with the opposite team starters. Now you bring in that second source of scoring. Now it kind of keeps the game even the whole entire time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was some good analysis we had right there. Again, you're listening to Penguin Radio only on radio.dominican.edu. This is Ball is Life. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse. And as always, I have alongside me DJ Smoove and DJ DV. We'll be right back after a quick break.
It's all about the money. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
What a great transition there, right into our segment. So we're going to be breaking into the West now. Again, I am DJ Roughhouse. I got DJ Smoove, DJ DV.
I do it.
And this is Ball Is Life only on the one and only radio.dominican.edu.
Yeah.
West playoffs.
What?
Let's do it.
What is standing out to you?
Standing out to me, and I know you guys are going to give me some stuff about this, about how I was talking this team up, but what happened to the Spurs? What happened?
I already knew.
I was watching game one, and the Clippers were just dominating them. The Spurs now really do look like that old team, bunch of old guys that belong in a home playing basketball.
Wait, is this recording? Is this recording?
This is recording.
Because I feel like I said that for how many weeks?
Couple weeks.
A couple months.
Okay, a couple months. You're right.
I was in that bandwagon as well.
You got me. I saw them and I was like, this is not the NBA champions that I saw last June.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I needed some convincing.
All right, DV, what you got? What's that?
I'm looking
team?
At the, you know, the West. Compared to the East, the West, they're playing way more physical basketball. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying before the break, you know, Rockets, Mavericks opening up with a bloody nose. Like they literally stopped the game, wiped the floor from a bloody nose. Yeah. That's how physical they're playing. And, you know, I saw Dwight Howard and Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler is not keeping up with Dwight Howard, but he's matching his physicality.
Yeah.
Which is.
They're both brutes.
They are going head to head at each other, which is the playoff presence. You know, the playoff presence in the West is so dominant. It may take away from the game, but at the same time, it's what you like to see. Mm-hmm. You want to see some fighting, like Rondo and James Harden going
at
it.
Or the Milwaukee Bucks, Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a lot of egos, it seems like, but it's just playoff basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what sticks out to me in the West is the physicality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure the physicality is much more intense. But I still think that, I mean, we all knew this, that it's always going to be more competitive in the West than it is in the East.
Yeah.
So, I feel like we kind of saw this coming, but I didn't anticipate on the bloody noses and the technical fouls. Like, they are just playing. It's crazy. But anyways, what's the one team that shocked you in the West, Smoove?
Shocked me in the West. Maybe the Grizzlies beating the Portland Trailblazers by 20 points.
Like kids. They're playing kids.
That kind of surprised me because I thought, you know, Portland was always my dark horse. I like Portland, like what they're doing up there. But Portland, like Toronto, seems like they did not belong there or didn't want to be there, in fact. They didn't. Yeah, it just looked bad.
Yeah. DV, what you got?
I'm really surprised at the Clippers play because, you know, like you said, they were going up against the defending champs, and you know they're coming. They came out strong in game one.
Yeah, and they really played strong tonight. Let's see what they do tonight.
Yeah, I want to see what happens tonight. But you know they came out really strong, and I want to see if they can keep doing it and doing it. Because if they keep doing it and doing it, we might see them in the conference finals.
True,
we might.
It might be Golden State Clippers, and that I mean, talking about.
They're talking about Chris Paul wanting a ring more than anything right now. He said he wants a ring, so like he put it out there. He's like, I want the ring. Like I'm hungry for it.
He's dedicated. He's really the one. Is. He's the type of player that watches all the NBA games, scouts all the players. He's like the most dedicated player.
He's one of the smartest players in the league. Like really thinking about it, he's one of the smartest players in the league. I know I'm a LeBron fan, but he's the smartest player in the league.
I think that the series that shocked me personally was the Warriors-Pelicans. I thought that they were going to split the series.
Really?
Definitely not.
But come on. Golden State.
You sound like Joe right now.
Bruh, they did not blow out the Warriors, though. Or the Pelicans. Like, they were close
they
games both times.
They didn't.
Like, the Pelicans are right there. They just need that one. They're missing Drew Holiday, and I think that he would be the deciding factor.
No, that's true. They are missing Drew Holiday. Because Holiday could keep up with Steph Curry and try to slow him down on the defensive
side. But that doesn't excuse the being down 2-0 in a series.
No, it doesn't. But they are missing.
I'm just saying that's a series that shocked me. I think that they could be one. I think they could have split that series going back to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
But, I mean, that's just me.
I hear you, but
then again,
I think it's a sweep.
Keep in mind, he has a Golden State snapback on right now.
I'm not a Golden State fan. I went to the game and I bought a snapback. All right.
I think Golden State goes up 3-0, and then the Pelicans win game four, and they come back to the Oracle for one more game.
I think Rockets sweep.
Get your brooms out. Okay, oh, so wait, hold on.
No, let's get on the Houston.
Okay, so.
Rockets sweeping.
DB's got something to say.
They may sweep them now. The Rockets have a really, really good offense. Now, they run a pick and roll. They set the screen towards the outside, and they have Josh Smith. When Josh Smith is in, they have him coming baseline towards it, when usually you would want a pick and roll you want people to cut away from a pick and roll to give them room to work. Mm-hmm. Now he cuts to it. The ball handler drops it off on the baseline and leaves Dwight Howard open up in the middle. Now, it's a good play, but when you get to play better teams where they're cutting off that baseline pass and they're defending the ball handler really well, you're running into nowhere. You're running into a double team in the corner.
Okay.
I'm not done.
Okay, go.
And Josh Smith is hit or miss. Now, Trevor Ariza is not going to see over that when you get to be playing better leagues. Yeah, he's tall. He's not going to do that, because I don't see him making those kind of plays like Josh Smith was doing last night, which Josh Smith played really well. But when they get to play better defensive teams, none of that is happening. It may happen once or twice, not seven or eight times. Now, Mavericks are missing now Rondo, and they're also missing Chandler Parsons. You do the math.
They still lost by like 15 last night.
Okay. To a team that's not as good as they're going to play.
Okay, so anyways, they were set. All right, into the fourth quarter off the pick and roll, they had James Harden at the top of the key, and they have Josh Smith right over there. So they set a high pick screen for James Harden, and then James Harden takes it in, and he dumps it off to Josh Smith over at the right elbow. And then he either can do one or two things. He could drive and smash on Tyson Chandler, or Tyson Chandler commits to Josh Smith, and he throws a lob to Dwight Howard. And it's a lose-lose, and that's what they did down that stretch.
I know.
It's just how is the defense going to step up to that and change that? Then they could just kick it right back to James Harden. He'll hit the three. They could kick it out to Trevor Ariza. There's a plethora of things that they could do besides just with those two options.
I hear what you're saying. Now, let's be honest here. If Clippers or Spurs, if they come in and play the Rockets, they're going to play the Rockets the second round. Now, Clippers are they're way bigger. Blake Griffin can almost play the small forward position because he can guard and his skill level in the offensive end enables him to play that small forward, but he's better at power forward. Now, he goes up against Josh Smith or Terrence Jones. That's not happening. And James Harden, yeah, there's a different matchup at that position. So that James Harden, yeah, he'll go off.
That'd be a good series, Clippers.
Now, point guard Chris Paul is tearing up Jason Terry. He's just doing it. But looking at where the Rockets' success was last night, yeah, they won by 15. Guess what? Josh Smith had 15 points and 9 assists. Yeah. So that's where they won. He is hit or miss. There's no in between. He's not consistent.
Harden's still won for 25.
Are you calling Josh Smith the X factor for the Rockets?
Yeah. If he's not doing well in the second round, Rockets aren't. Because that's their bench. That's their bench. And Corey Brewer.
And the thing that I wasn't getting on Dallas's point is in game one, they were playing like a 2-3 zone. I was really confused on why they were playing zone against Houston, and Houston was just getting a lot of easy buckets in the middle. They were just moving the ball around, and they were getting a lot of open shots in the middle.
And another thing the Rockets do is when Josh Smith is in, because he's about 6'9", 6'10", and he's able to play that small forward position.
And
They run to a big to big screen, which is Dwight Howard sets a pick for Josh Smith. You know, he was passing really well last night.
Yeah, 4 and 5.
Yeah, so they set up 4 and 5, which, you know, Dirk Nowitzki's not guarding that. I'm sorry, he's not. He can barely run.
Yeah, he was.
He's 7 feet tall and can barely dunk. You know,
Dirk is nice.
Dirk is nice. He's just not as nice as he used to be.
No,
Obviously. And then you got Tyson Chandler, a washed up defensive player of the year.
Damn.
He's not guarding any of that anymore.
Those are some fighting words right there.
You know, now you get to, you know, Clippers, you got two young guys who play really good defense. DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah. True.
Blake Griffin. I don't know about Glenn Big Baby Davis. And I don't know about.
He is trash.
I don't know about who's. I don't know who their backup center is.
I think the big question in the. I don't know either. I think the big question in the Clippers Spurs series is that will the Spurs show up?
They got to show up in game two. If they don't show up in game two, it's over. I'm calling.
Yeah,
they don't
have to show up tonight.
If they don't even have to win today's game, but if they don't put up a competitive match against the Clippers, they are out in the first round. And also, when I was watching TNT, the pregame before the Clippers-Spurs game, Charles Barkley did bring up a good point. If the Clippers can't get past the Spurs team this year, the Clippers are going to have to blow up that team.
Oh, yeah. They have to self-destruct.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, essentially they're going to self-destruct in the playoffs, yeah, and then they got it. They
you
got
can't
to.
Just be the same team, you know, that Lob City in the regular season, and then when it gets to playoff time,
they
want to
play real basketball. You want to do Showtime.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if the Clippers don't beat the Spurs and don't have a far run in this year's playoffs, all the moves they made to get here were for nothing.
They would, like, DeAndre Jordan's leaving. I can already see him leaving this team.
Doc Rivers, I can see Doc Rivers retiring. Chris Paul's getting frustrated.
Yeah, he's on the verge of getting super frustrated. Mm-hmm. He's frustrated, super frustrated, where he's just gonna blow up,
mm-hmm.
and he's not gonna be the same player that he was.
It's gonna be ugly.
He's gonna be his game's gonna be ran by anger as opposed to like
his mind.
His
being
mind,
played.
Like his
smart. His IQ.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's touch on the Blazers Grizzly series. What are the key points for the Blazers to stay afloat in this playoffs?
DeMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard. They gotta play because the Blazers do not have enough support. Offensively,
Aflalo?
They don't have. Yeah, I mean, Aflalo has to contribute Aflalo. Because Wesley Matthews is not playing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's
but
out with torn Achilles.
Yeah, Wesley's theory.
But Damian Lillard and I feel like Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge just have to have good games. Like Damian Lillard's got to have like 25 and 10. LaMarcus Aldridge is probably another 20 with like 15 rebounds.
You gotta have a lot contributing from Kamen,
mm-hmm.
and Kamen, Robin Lopez.
CJ McCollum, all those
you
guys.
You got
Steve,
like,
Blake.
Everybody has to be on their A game, mm-hmm. every night for them to get far.
Yeah, and I didn't see it in game one. And Grizzlies are a very physical team, and they're really hungry.
Really experienced.
And especially Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol's an upcoming free agent, and I know he wants to probably stay in Memphis, but if he feels like he has a better chance winning a title somewhere else, he's going to leave.
Oh, yeah.
So
because, I mean, as bad as it sounds, this league is all about getting titles, or it's for each player. Mm-hmm. They want to have their legacy.
Yeah.
So that it's just the way it is.
Talking about, and the Grizzlies, I think, in my opinion, have the best big man combination in the league in Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, and I feel like that's just too much for the Trailblazers to hang with. Because who do they have to guard Marc Gasol? Robin Lopez or Chris Kaman?
No.
Doesn't work
not
like
happening.
That. Yeah,
who is Golden State? Who are the Warriors rather wanting to see in round two, Portland or Memphis?
They want to see Portland because they do not want to see Memphis. Memphis is
a
monster.
Can Memphis beat the Warriors?
Yes. Memphis can beat Golden State.
DV, do you want to explain that look on your
face? I don't think so.
They have a better shot than Portland.
Oh, yeah, they have a better shot. They're not going to beat them.
I think that series goes seven. In
seven
games.
For sure.
Seven games?
Mm-hmm. Because
okay.
if you
you're
think about
Warriors,
it...
Okay. You're saying Warriors beat them in six? Or five?
I would say five or six, yeah. I don't see them... I can see Memphis winning two games. I can't see them beating them.
Do you think Golden State is a physical team?
Oh, yeah.
No.
What?
I don't see them as a physical team.
I don't see them as a physical team.
Bogut plays physical.
I think they're weak.
Well, outside of Steph Curry, they are physical.
I don't know. Livingston.
I don't see it.
You guys didn't see them play live, I guess.
Yes. Sorry.
No. If you watch how they play, they play physical. Like Steph Curry, he's kind of he absorbs contact. He doesn't dish it out.
Mm.
I feel like the same way with Klay Thompson. Now, if Klay Thompson gets frustrated, I feel like he would dish it out a little. But Draymond Green, Bogut, David Lee, pretty much all their big men and the people coming off the bench, they play physical.
Well, they're going to have to play physical against a Memphis team that's got Tony Allen, who plays
he's
physical defensively. Mike Conley plays physical. And then you got Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. Like I said, I feel like they're the best big man combination in the league down there. I can see Grizzly pulling it off in 7 games.
I can see Grizzlies winning in 6, but that's ambitious.
Warriors winning 5 or 6.
All right, let's look at the other side of it, though. Houston, we're saying, is going coming out of that slot.
Dallas is a team ready to implode.
Yeah. So are they wanting to see?
Oh, yeah,
the Clippers or the Spurs? I think they want to see the Spurs.
Keep it in Texas.
Yeah, they probably want to see.
Yeah,
San
they
Antonio.
Want to see the Spurs because if they play the Clippers, they will lose.
But this
I
is
mean,
the thing.
I think that they'll go to 7 if they play the Clippers.
Honestly, what I think. I don't think Houston makes it out of the second round. I think whoever wins the Spurs-Clippers series is moving on to the Western Conference Finals.
Because I honestly, whoever wins Clippers or Spurs, Houston's going to have kind of a bad series.
They're going to have a tough
time. Let's see, Dwight on Blake, Dwight on DeAndre, and then Josh Smith and Tyler Jones. Tyler Jones on Terrence Jones on Blake.
I mean, that's how it's going to be, yeah. Either way, it's not looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some tough matchups.
I feel like because
James Harden's not going to score 80 every night.
Yeah, but he can score 40.
I actually want one of those shirts that says stir it up with him. I actually want to steal one of those shirts. I want to buy
You want to steal? Well, you just incriminated yourself on
you
air.
Well,
I want to steal.
Really. Get one of those shirts, I should say.
All right.
All right, let's... What else you guys want to hit up with? Let's go second round Eastern, since we're already here. So, Hawks coming out, obviously. And they got the Raptors or the Wizards? I'm probably going to say the Wizards. So, Wizards or Hawks?
I honestly have to see how game 2 goes for Atlanta.
Yeah. Are they winning right now?
What if the Nets?
Yeah, they were winning.
Yeah,
they were
I got it right
8.
Here. It's the page needs a refresh.
The Hawks, it depends on how they do tonight, which will tell me how they're playing in the playoffs.
I think Washington's too young to upset Atlanta.
It's currently 31-26 Hawks.
See, it's a close game. It's a two-possession game.
Two-possession game. With 11 minutes in the second.
I don't know. It's tough to predict.
It's tough to predict, but I feel like Washington gives Atlanta a run for their money.
Mm-hmm.
They could beat them.
Yeah.
But I just can't, to be honest, I can't see Washington in the conference finals.
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be really weird. But
they had the talent to be in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. Most definitely. But I see Cleveland and Chicago in the second round.
That's going to be a great series.
I don't think Derrick Rose is going to have that type of stamina. Because, I mean, think about it. He has been playing this entire season.
He might have another
and
knee
Jimmy
injury.
Butler is not going to be able to keep up. And Pau Gasol is not going to be able to match all the big men Tristan Thompson. I mean, they have so many
guys
down
there. Kevin Love.
And I feel like you're going to have, I don't think Joakim Noah is going to be that big of an impact either. I mean, not that anybody's just going to guard him. I don't think he's just going to have that impact that he usually does. I feel like he's going to want to be sped up and want to piss off everybody in the Cleveland Cavaliers because he really doesn't like LeBron.
Oh, he does not like LeBron.
I don't know, whatever it is, but I feel like he's going to be in that mindset.
I think Eastern Conference Finals, Cavs Wizards.
That's bold.
I say Cavs, Wizards / Hawks.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, but I think that the Wizards are going to beat the Hawks.
Yeah, it's going
to
be
because, think about it. They're so close to the Nets right now, and Wizards are tearing up Raptors.
Yeah. It's gonna be one of those two of those three teams are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
The Cavs are for sure coming out as the 2 seed into the Eastern Conference Finals. It's just a toss-up between Atlanta and Washington because, honestly, I feel like they're well evenly matched, and it's going to be a great playoff series.
Oh, yeah.
To see 100%. How Washington handles with the Atlanta's shooting and how Atlanta handles Washington's fast-paced play.
Yeah.
And Paul Pierce. If Paul Pierce can keep up this play, Washington can give Atlanta a run for their money, like DV said.
So if Memphis, going back to the West, Memphis Clippers, Western Finals?
No. No. Even though I said Memphis can beat Golden State, I feel like Golden State just pulls it off. It feels like it's their year.
So Clippers-Warriors?
Clippers-Warriors, yeah.
Western if Conference Warriors finals. Go to the finals, I say Cavs are winning it all.
Wow. That's bold.
I think Cavs are going to win it all if they play the Warriors.
East Western Conference Finals, I say Warriors, Clippers, or Houston. I can't see Houston can make it out of second round, but they do not win that Western Conference Finals. They do not. Maybe next year. I don't know.
They need a point guard.
They do.
They need a point guard so bad.
Patrick, but I mean, they need a backup because they have Pergoni, Jason. They have Jason Terry playing point guard. Jason Terry is not at his best.
They're not. Beverly's injury for sure hurt us.
They don't have a lot of money left, though.
But they can always draft one.
Well, yeah, they can always draft one. But, I mean, you can't wait 2 or 3 years for a decent point guard.
Mm-hmm. So, they don't have to sign like a big free agent.
You want somebody established in the league that knows his way around. You can't wait 2 or 3 years for your point guard to get some playoff experience, and then we'll go for a title.
I'll take Rondo.
Rondo, you don't have the space for that. Rondo is going to the Lakers.
You don't have the space for Rondo.
Yeah,
we have been recruiting him since Christmas. He is coming to Los
Westbrook. Who would you rather have, Westbrook or Rondo?
Obviously, I would rather have Westbrook, but Westbrook's in OKC.
I don't think that's going to fit the Lakers. I think Rondo fits the Lakers better.
Oh, no, Rondo does, but I feel like because Kobe's not the same scorer he is right now, and the Lakers really don't have that number one scorer, Westbrook would be a great addition for the Lakers. Honestly, anyone would be. DV, you would be a great addition for the Lakers.
Thanks, we're gonna end it on that.
I need
that.
A job.
That's so we're gonna come back in a little bit, talk about some NBA drama. There's some things that went down today that we're gonna touch on. So again,
R.I.P.
This is Ball is Life, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Roughhouse, DJ Smooth, DJ DV. We'll be right back.
Started out with what I wear to school that first day. Like these are what make you cool. And this pair, this would be my parachute. So much more than just a pair of shoes. Nah, this is what I am, what I wore. This is the source of my youth. This dream that they sold to you. $400 and some change. Consumption is in the veins. And now I see.
Sitting by the river, she's miles from me. So damn tired, I nearly lost my way. Too dark to see, and she calls my name. I can feel her voice. Over my life, I never felt like this. Your love's dry.
Dream.
All right, welcome back to Ball Is Life only on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Roughhouse, DJ Smooth with me, and DJ DV. So,
I do it.
NBA news. Smooth, what you got for us?
Well, number one, the big news out in OKC, Scott Brooks fired as the Thunder's head coach. And just thoughts from Roughhouse or DV, who wants to start it off.
Yeah, I really think that that's a bad decision on Scott Brooks so or on OKC's.
So do I.
Because he had way, way, way up, way over 500% win percentage with them. He had over 200 wins in the seven seasons that he was there. But I guess there just wasn't a fit or something. I don't know. But Kevin Durant supported the OKC's decision 100% and said that he looks forward to the upcoming seasons.
Mm.
DV, what's your thoughts?
I think, looking at the past years and looking at how OKC became a better team, I feel like Scott Brooks knows that team better than anybody else.
Yeah, they grew up together.
Yeah, it's kind of like childhood friends. You grew up together, you guys know each other. But looking at it from a bigger perspective, they've been to the finals one time. They've had two potential MVPs on their team. Oh, they had one MVP and one possible MVP.
A couple scoring titles.
You got to get something out of that. You got to get more than just, oh, we made it to the finals one time.
Yeah.
True.
Even though his mom was the real MVP in that season.
No, but, true. I totally get what you're saying. They should at least have.
At the same time.
Finals.
That's their coach.
Yeah.
That's
who are they going to replace?
Who
I don't know who they're
going to. Okay, to be honest, Scott Brooks made that team work.
Mm-hmm.
He was the oil to the machine. He made that machine work.
He fueled the machine.
I don't even know how else to say it.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's already moving on. He's already looking at the Magic and the Nuggets. So
those are
the Thunder need to
I
start.
Feel like if he goes to Orlando, that could be another OKC of the East.
Yeah. Could you imagine what he could do for Victor Oladipo and that young team?
Yeah, Nikola Vucevic.
He'd be a great mentor.
Yeah, he'd be a great
mentor.
Aaron
Gordon,
mentor.
Tobias Harris, all those guys. But no, back to what it's Scott Brooks being fired. I just feel like here's another move that the Thunder are going to regret. They acted too quickly. The first one was trading James Harden to Houston.
Well, I think they did that for space.
Money. Yeah,
space. Money, but the thing is, they had a pick between Serge Ibaka and James Harden to give that max contract, and they gave it to Serge Ibaka instead.
Oh, okay, I can see that, why you would say that.
So those are these are going to be like two moves that I feel like the Thunder are going to regret down the line, because let's say the OKC does keep James Harden, they could have won multiple titles. They could have been to the finals again.
Oh yeah,
and
they could have probably won a finals.
Yeah,
with James
and
Harden.
James Harden was open to staying the sixth man. Yeah, I bet he loves it being the man in Houston.
Oh
but,
yeah, he's the man in Houston now. But
and then again, what did OKC get in return for Harden? They got Jeremy Lamb, who hasn't been the prospect that they thought he was going to be. They had Kevin Martin for 1 year. Now he's in Minnesota. And they really didn't get anything in return for James Harden. And also, again, another move that they did. They were the OKC was the team that drafted Jeff Green.
That is right. And now where is he at?
He's in
Boston,
Memphis.
Now he's in Memphis. He's actually doing very well in Memphis.
So I'm just saying, I think nothing against the GM of the Thunder, because he has an eye for talent. He drafted Jeff Green, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, all those guys. So he has a knack for talent. I just feel like the management over there get frustrated too much and they act too quickly because they're not getting the results they want.
I feel like their GM is just a really good NBA scout.
No, he is.
And has his decision making on the based on looking at what's going on in OKC is not his best attribute.
True. I feel like this is the downfall of the OKC Thunder.
I agree with you.
I feel like they're going to have a couple more winning seasons, but after that, Westbrook's going to leave and Durant's going to leave. I know Durant said that he wants to stay in OKC and be a one-team player. I think he's going to they're both going to leave, and it's going to be the downfall of the OKC.
He's going
home. I don't think KD leaves, but I see Westbrook going to the Lakers. I see if Kevin Durant decides to leave, he goes to Washington and wins the title with them.
If Kevin Durant decides to play again? How many games do you
play? Hey, that's really unfortunate for him, though. Like, I like that. My heart breaks for him.
Yeah. Ruff, has you got any more NBA drama news?
I mean,
I got some.
Oh, DV.
The source is called. The source is just called.
Let me stretch out.
Just got off the phone.
Rick Carlisle saying Rondo played his last game in a Mavericks uniform. Now, I got a question. Is that him being biased because him and Rondo don't get along? Or is that the truth?
I think that's how he feels.
I think that's the truth.
Because there's a report out there before he got traded to Dallas. Rondo was his plan was to finish his season with the Celtics and then go and sign with the Lakers.
I mean,
okay. Is that statement biased because you're a Lakers fan?
No, that's actually in a report. I read that.
Each other. We all know. You just said it, but I think that Rondo doesn't want to play a game knowing that his season's done, knowing that they're not going to get past the Rockets. He just wants to sit down and be like, he wants to be able to say, oh, I wonder what would have happened if I played, instead of playing and having him lose. I feel like he's super arrogant and he just wants that self-entitlement.
That is true.
So he's a premature sore loser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I feel that like he precisely Rondo's had problems even in Boston with Doc Rivers. This is not the first time he has a problem with the coach there. He's a very arrogant player. And, you know, Paul Pierce has said it. Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett. Even though they won the title, that year with the Celtics, the four guys, Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen, and Rondo, they weren't as close as what people thought. They were very, like, distant to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul Pierce and Garnett, I'm sure, they were really close.
No, the M2 were really close, but they said Ray Allen used to do their thing.
That's just Ray Allen. I don't think Ray Allen's ever been, like, you know,
part of a core with somebody. He's always, like, done his own thing.
He's always done his own thing, but he's always complimented a team to what that team does. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. No, I got it.
He never disrespected Pierce or Garnett like Rondo's arrogance would, but he's always done his own thing. So, but speaking about Rondo, going back to Rondo, you think with his attitude he'll help the Lakers?
No.
Or will it destroy the Lakers?
I think it'll destroy the Lakers.
Honestly, this is not me. This could be me being biased, but I feel like if he does go to the Lakers, I think he respects Kobe a lot, that he would not act like that.
What about Garnett? Garnett was he was pretty edgy like Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. So why
I think I don't know, it's Kobe Bryant. I just nothing against Kevin Garnett, and I'm not taking away from anything he did cuz he's had a Hall of Fame career, but I'm just saying it's Kobe Bryant. I don't know what to say. It's just Kobe Bryant, and it's the Mamba, and it's the Lakers, and I feel like Rondo has so much respect for that. And he's probably grown up watching Kobe, that he wouldn't act like that while Kobe's there.
So you think Kobe's inner Michael Jordan type attitude overpowers Rondo's arrogance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. I can see that.
I do. I feel like, yeah, that's just... And I feel like Rondo would like to help Kobe tie Michael Jordan with 6 NBA titles.
I think that we're kind of missing that Rondo is an actual, like, he's a great player.
No, he's a fantastic player.
And it's that fact that is killing him, because when he starts hearing, oh man, like this guy could pass, this guy can, like, he's good. Now he's like in his mind, like, oh, like I'm like, my stuff don't stink, yada, yada, yada. And now he finds himself on a bad team, losing in the playoffs. And he's like, oh, like I'm good. Like, what happened? So now he just needs to get that reinstatement that he's good. And that's why I think he's going to go to the Lakers. Because he's like, oh, this is a championship team. I got Kobe.
And whoever else. Because the Lakers have a lot of money to spend. They got a top 5 pick.
Like, yeah, and he'll get money. That's why I think he'll go there.
I feel like Lakers snatched DeAndre Jordan. That would really make the Lakers better because they're getting Julius Randle back. You know, they got DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, DeAndre Rondo. Jordan, Julius Randle, 4 and 5.
Yeah,
talking about the Lakers.
That'd be like.
And they get this draft Rockets. Lottery.
Yeah,
yeah. They get.
They got 2 first-round picks this year. They got the 18th pick, and then they got a top 5 pick.
I feel like if in the draft, if say they, because this is a free agency period after the draft. Yeah, it is. I feel like if they pick up a center just in case they don't get DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
And they may pick up a point guard if they don't get Rondo. They have
a lot of area needs. Yeah. Small forwards in need.
They might. Well, Julius. Speaking of it, they were thinking about putting Julius Randle at the small forward.
Mm-hmm. And so. And they also might get something for Nick Young because I heard they're going to shop him around. They're going to be listening to offers.
He should go back to the D League.
Yeah.
I don't think that. I just think he's. The Lakers is full of six men
and
scorers off the bench. So it kind of it doesn't work when there's 5 6-man starters.
Yeah, and I like what I saw from the young guys from the Lakers watching them this year. I like what Jordan Clarkson is doing at point guard. I like what Jabari Brown did the last couple of games. I think he could be a guy they should keep on the bench and have him progress more into a scorer.
Oh yeah,
he's a more complete player. I like Tariq Black, the power forward they got from. They got him off waivers from Houston during the middle of the year, and I like what he did. I hope they bring Ed Davis back because I feel like Ed Davis is a good energy player off the bench, and I feel like the Lakers try to trade Jordan Hill and Nick Young and see what they can get from.
Now, do you think what the season they had? Do you think who's the GM?
Mitch Kupchak.
Mitch Kupchak. Yeah. Do you think he takes a risk by keeping all those players with the season they had as opposed to, you know, shopping everybody and seeing what he can get in return so that he doesn't waste any more time on Kobe Bryant?
I think they should keep the young players that, like I said, three guys.
For a mentor.
Jabari Brown, Jordan Clarkson, guys like Tariq Black, but I think you do shop around Nick Young, Jordan Hill, Ryan Kelly. I don't think you bring back Wesley Johnson. You don't bring back Jeremy Lin. I don't think you bring back those guys.
Yeah.
Now I think they should pick up 2 good draft picks, and they should get a big free agency.
A couple of big free agents.
Yeah, they should get a couple of them, and bring back Jordan Clarkson, Jabari Brown, and I say. Yeah, Tariq Black and Ed Davis, and keep them on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Don't start them now.
All right, well, that was a really juicy way to end it with the Lakers. I know Smooth's happy off of that.
I am.
Whatever.
All right, well, this is Ball's Life again. Thank you guys for listening. We have one more show left, and then that will be it.
Aww.
So it's all right. We'll be back.
Year.
We'll be back next week. So Ball's Life. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, DJ Roughhouse, DJ Smooth, and DJ DV.
I do it.